I love Jesus. I love how when we read the Gospels, we see how he did amazing things, coming to earth, living his life, dying for us. And the passage that we're going to look at tonight in the book of Luke, so if you have your Bibles in front of you, please open them up as we look at this to Luke chapter 7. I've picked this passage, and I love this passage because it's a wonderfully challenging passage about the compassion, actions, and power of Jesus, and how Jesus can bring hope to a hopeless situation. And also I want us to see tonight then how we need to respond to Jesus. At the start of this passage, we see two crowds. In verse 11, it starts. The crowd that was with Jesus. This was a happy group of people. They were following Jesus expectantly. They had seen and heard all of these amazing teachings of Jesus, the amazing miracles of Jesus. And they were probably following him, chatting, telling stories, retelling stories, and just hoping to see some more awesome things. This was probably quite a buzzing crowd. Then we have another crowd. The crowd that was with the widow. This was a group in mourning. They surrounded this mourning widow who wept bitterly for her only son. There was a sense, a deep sense of hopelessness with this group. And as these two crowds came together, we see that Jesus did something amazing. We see that Jesus brought gospel change in Nain. Let us look very quickly at how this change came about. First, we see the compassion of Jesus. Look at verse 13. Jesus saw this woman. He saw her need. Jesus saw her broken heart over the loss of her son. He also knew that in this culture now, this woman was destitute. She had lost her husband. She had now lost her only son, her only source of security. Who would look after her now? Who would provide for her? She couldn't do it herself. As she looked to the future, all she would have felt was a deep sense of hopelessness. Jesus saw this, and his heart went out to her. The Greek tells us that the Lord had compassion on her, which means to feel great affection for, to love. And the NIV's use of his heart went out to her is a great way for us to understand compassion. Compassion is a movement of our hearts in love towards the plight of someone else. As Jesus looked at this poor, hopeless woman, in the midst of this crowd, his heart broke for her. He loved her. And then second, we see the actions of Jesus. Jesus' compassion drove him to action. Jesus comforted. Jesus approached her and spoke to her. He said, "Don't cry," bringing comfort. These simple, comforting words that Jesus spoke were not just empty words, because he followed them up with actions. Next, we see that Jesus challenged the culture. Here, Jesus did something really weird, really strange. He went over and he touched the coffin. We read that in verse 14, which in that context would have made him unclean. He would not have been allowed into the temple to worship God for a set period of time. This was a surprising, this was a shocking action of Jesus. Everyone in the crowd at this moment would have stopped and watched, most with disgust. But all would be wondering, what will he do next? The crowd that followed Jesus were actually probably getting a little bit excited. They were getting used to Jesus doing countercultural things, to challenging everybody's way of thinking. And then next, what do we see? We see that Jesus brought hope. He spoke again, this time to the dead man, and he commanded him. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And he did. Then, in verse 15, Jesus gave the young man back to his mother. Whether Jesus physically lifted the young man and handed him back, we do not know. But we do know that because Jesus saw the need, he had compassion with actions, this broken and hopeless mother got her son back. She received hope, the hope that only Jesus could give. This story is about the power of Jesus. Jesus' power over death. Up until this point, Jesus had shown his power healing illnesses and casting out demons. But this was the first time in the book of Luke that he had raised someone from the dead. Jesus has power over death. Jesus has the power to bring ultimate hope. Also note the response of the crowd in this town of Nain. As they experienced Jesus' power, verses 16 and 17, at the end, they praised God. And the news of Jesus spread throughout the whole area. In this wonderfully powerful story, we see gospel change through the compassion, actions, and power of Jesus, transforming the widow and the crowd from hopelessness to hope and joy. When Jesus interacts with a situation, he brings hope. He brings gospel change. This story, I believe, also parallels what God has done for us as Christians today. If you know and follow Jesus, a wondrous, wonderfully wondrous change has happened to and within you. A gospel change in us. From the hopelessness of life without Jesus to the hope of life with Jesus. And that change happened because of the compassion of Jesus for us. Jesus saw our need. That without him, we would be lost in our sin with no way to God and heaven, lost to the hopelessness of an eternity in hell. God knew we needed a Savior. We know the start of John 3:16 so well. For God so loved the world. Out of love, God, the three in one's heart, broke for us, his creation. His heart was moved towards us. And we know the actions of Jesus for us, that he gave his one and only Son. God reached down through Jesus to us to save us, giving us a way to him through faith. How wonderful it is to know that Jesus, the one through whom all was made, out of love, came to the earth for us. His humble birth, lying in a manger. His compassionate life of love as he healed, taught, challenged, and brought hope. As he showed people the way to the kingdom of heaven. It was for us. Jesus reached down to lift us up. The wonderful actions of Jesus for us, driven by his compassion, are a comfort to us, a challenge to us, and they give us hope. Hope because we know the power of Jesus for us. The power of Jesus to defeat sin. He gave his life as a sacrifice on the cross for us as our substitute. Taking our punishment, the punishment due to us for our sins, our rebellion, our selfishness. And then, through his resurrection, we see his power over death. All so that we can be cleansed of our sin. As we believe in Jesus, repent from our sins, turn from our old ways, and follow him. Knowing the hope of a restored relationship with God and our eternal place in heaven. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And all we do is to believe, repent, and follow. As Jesus interacts with our lives, he brings hope. He brings gospel change. If you haven't experienced that change, please see now the compassion, actions, and power of Jesus for you. He loves you. He died for you. So respond with faith, repentance, and follow him. This is what Jesus desires for the world, that everyone will experience gospel change, seeing his compassion, actions, and power for them, and that they will respond. As his disciples, this is also to be our desire too, that we, the church family, are called by Jesus to be fishers of men. We are called to be salt and light, to be Jesus' witnesses in the world, to preach of repentance and forgiveness. As we tell the gospel, the good news of Jesus, we are called to be disciples who make disciples. The church's purpose and desire is to bring gospel change in the world. In a very real way, I believe that the church is like that crowd at the start of the story following Jesus. His disciples, we are to be excited by all that he has done for us and all that we have seen him doing, and expecting him to see and do more amazing things in the world and to bring hope to the world. And then as we go from here, as we go from the church, we go out into the world. And as we meet those people who do not know the wonder and the hope of Jesus, like that crowd that was with the woman, then as we interact with that crowd, with the world, it is our desire that they will experience gospel change. Like the crowd at the end of the story, they will worship God and spread the good news of Jesus. That should be our greatest desire, to see gospel change in the world. So we, the church, what must we do? We must show the compassion of Jesus. Like Jesus, we must see the need that is out there. Open our eyes to the needs of those around us. The physical needs, poverty, sickness, lack of purpose, loneliness, selfishness, self-sufficiency, greed, individualism. The list could go on. The things that trap people in spirals of hopelessness. We also need to open our eyes to the spiritual needs of those around us and realize that without Jesus, they are lost for eternity, and that they need to believe, repent, and follow Jesus. They need a gospel change. But sadly, the truth is that it is so very, very easy for us as a church and as people to lower our vision, to even close our eyes to the needs of others and only think of ourselves. We must see the need out there. In Luke 19, we read that as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. As Jesus saw the city, he knew the future destruction of that city, and his heart went out to it and he wept for it. And like Jesus, our hearts must go out to the world. Compassion, love. Are our hearts moved towards the world? Those who don't know Jesus, do we weep? Do we weep for those who do not know him? Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. We must love like Jesus. If we don't have compassion for the needs that are out there, then the reality is that we don't really get what the love of Jesus is all about. As we see the need and have compassion, our hearts are moved towards them, and that motivates us to show the actions of Jesus in the world. Like Jesus, we must bring comfort in our actions and words, like Jesus actually approaching, speaking to, helping those who are struggling, bringing comfort to them, bringing relief, security. We might call it social action, like Jesus did. And then how Jesus challenges us in Matthew 25, where he talks about the goats and the sheep and how they are separated. And he says that those who will go to heaven, he says to them, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you took me in. You looked after me. I was in prison and you came and visited me." And then the righteous will answer him. They will say, "When did we do that?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." The church, Christians, are called to be a blessing to the nations, to bring good and be a force for good in the world. Also, like Jesus, we must challenge the culture. Jesus challenged the society of his day time and time again about cultural things that they had just let happen, that they had accepted, but they were wrong, and they were stopping the people from worshiping God. And so must we. We must challenge them. Where cultural norms are against God's word, we must challenge them. We must stand up and say, "That is wrong," and help people to see it. When this is done from a place of compassion, well, I think we'll probably have a better chance of being heard. For example, as we stand up and say that our culture's hypersexualization of society and the normalization of promiscuity and pornography, we stand up and we say that it is wrong, it is destroying society, relationships, and families. But when we tell a better story of God's plan for sexual purity in relationships and in families, and how that is the best way, God's plans are the best way for people to flourish. You see, the reality of secular culture, the world that we live in, is, as Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And we are to stand up against it and bring gospel change. So like Jesus, we must bring hope. Again, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." As we are bold enough to tell a better story, to show a better way of living, it will challenge our culture. As we naturally share with those around us about the hope we have and share how others can find it through Jesus, that he loves them, that he died for them, and that he changes our hopelessness into hope for the future. Living for a greater purpose, for God, glorifying and enjoying him. But the reality of life as we live our lives is that it's not easy to be Jesus' witnesses in this world. That's why Jesus said to us that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit to empower each of us with spiritual gifts to bring gospel change. As we find and use our gifts witnessing to Jesus, I pray that we will be a church generation that will rise up, that will take its place and bring hope in our world in a time, sadly, when the church is becoming more and more irrelevant in the world. We need to rise up and bring gospel change. Then, as we do that, we will have the wonderful honor of showing the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus to the world. His power over death and sin. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That Jesus can take all of our sin, all of our rebellion, all of our selfishness because of his selfless sacrifice. So no matter how far any of us feel from God, or how unforgivable any of us or anyone in this world may feel, Jesus can pick us up if we turn to him. As we share our lives with others, simply witnessing to the good news of Jesus, it is our hope and prayer that people will praise God and the good news will spread. They will believe, repent, and follow. And that gospel change will spread throughout our families, neighborhoods, communities, towns, countries, and this world. Jesus commands us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Who are you going to? Like Jesus, who are you intentionally going out of your way to meet, to love, comfort, and bring hope to show compassion, actions, and power of Jesus to? You know, as we do that, it may be difficult. It's not a comfortable thing to do. And it may cost us time and effort to reach out to that neighbor, that work colleague, a brother, an immigrant, a cousin, a person of another religion, mother, homeless man, drug addict. But that is what we are called to do. So let us be Jesus' disciples and be disciples who make disciples. As we interact with the world, let us bring hope. Let us bring gospel change as we show the compassion, actions, and power of Jesus. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came to this earth for us. We thank you for his life, his death, and his resurrection. We thank you that he can bring change to each and every one of our lives. He can take us from a place of hopelessness to a place of hope. Oh, we thank you for Jesus' humility. Help us to be humble like Jesus as we live our lives. To be servants like Jesus as we go out and as we share the love of Jesus, showing the compassion, actions, and power of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will help us all to be a compassionate people, to put our own selfish desires aside, to maybe go to the difficult places and help those who maybe wouldn't normally help, but to show the love of Jesus. Help us to take actions to lift others up, to help them, to share about Jesus and what he has done for them. Lord, help us to be your people, to be an active people. And Lord, we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. So through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask that you will empower us. And Lord, if you need to convict us of any sin issues in our lives that is stopping us from being compassionate, that is stopping us from showing the actions of Jesus, Lord, convict us now. If we need you, if there's anyone here, Lord, who needs you in their lives, Lord, convict now and save now, we pray. Be glorified, Lord, in all of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.